How many of you are sitting on a waiting list? How many times am I going to say from this presenting chair that too many working class people are sitting on years of waiting lists? So that might be great tactics from the First Minister, but is he sitting on a waiting list? As many of you may be. Who's going to sort out the health service? 03030 80 55 55. Garrett Martin from the Royal College of Nursing with us this morning. Morning to you, Garrett.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Ray Rafferty from the Union Unison. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, Stephen.
You know, the other question here, Garrett, is does it make much difference if we have a health minister anyway?
Well, Stephen, I think it certainly does. You know, our members are increasingly frustrated and indeed angry at the lack of, I suppose, movement and decision-making at a time when the health service is under so much pressure. And in fact, in many areas, and you use the example there of waiting lists, is in a crisis situation. We have staff will continue on working as they do and doing what they do best in terms of trying to provide care for patients in incredibly difficult circumstances. But there are a number of issues that we need decisions on. And with no minister in post, it's very clear that no decisions are going to be made.
Well, what issues? What decisions?
Well, there are issues, obviously. You mentioned there are one, waiting lists. We know the pressures in the emergency care system. We're approaching a winter where we have very little confidence that we won't be avoiding or that we'll be avoiding some of the situation and issues that we've had in the past. We have an issue for the workforce in relation to pay. This administration has failed to implement a pay award for 2015-16. Healthcare staff nurses in Northern Ireland are the lowest paid in the UK. And that sends out a real message in terms of the executives. Well, whether it's real or the perception that care nurses and other health service staff are not valued.
But you've got top civil servants, you've got officials running the health service. You could also say, Gareth, this is just a matter of weeks. Let it run its course.
Well, you know, our members are seeing the whites of patients' eyes day in, day out. And the public are angry with this. Staff are doing their best in circumstances, as I say, that they can't, that they're outside their control. And we need a modern, reformed health service in Northern Ireland. That's a given. We all are in agreement on that. But the lack of progress, TYC hasn't even got off first base. We need strong leadership, political leadership. We need courage. People are going to make decisions. If there's nobody there, this is just going to drag on and drag on to the detriment of the population of Northern Ireland.
If the minister was listening, what would you say to him?
Well, I think it's not just minister. It's all the political leaders. We need a stable political environment to deal with the very difficult issues that face Northern Ireland and the issues that face the public. The real issues are the issues around health and social care, welfare, education and those issues. And to make those decisions and to have that leadership, we need a functioning administration. And unfortunately, at the moment, we don't have that.
Ray Rafferty, your reaction?
Pretty much the same as Garth's. We have very serious concerns that a lack of leadership, specifically within the health service coming into the winter, is going to lead us back into the problems that we've had over the last couple of years. I was very interested with your introduction there, where you said about longer waiting lists, longer waiting times, queues in ED. They're longer now than they ever have been. The biggest question of all, the one that no one has actually asked, is how many people die on waiting lists because they can't be seen. The difficulty is, without an effective assembly, without an effective Minister for Health, we will eventually fall back into crisis, a crisis which the people of Northern Ireland cannot afford from a health point of view.
Yeah, but will a matter of weeks make any difference? So let's say Robinson does do this over the next, say, 4 or 5 weeks. So let's say he deliberately leaves Northern Ireland without a health minister for the next month. Will that have any net effect on people's health or lives?
Any lack of leadership will lead to a deterioration in the service. We need to have that effective leadership. We need decisions to be made. We need the service to be brought into the future, to be modernised, but done in an effective way, which is going to safeguard public health.
Yeah, but the service being modernised, with all due respect, Ray, and to be fair to Peter Robinson, a month of modernising a service is not going to make any difference.
A month doing nothing will lead to system crisis where patients are going to suffer. Do you want that to happen? I know I don't. Well, I don't think any of the politicians do, but they actually need to act and do something to protect the people of Northern Ireland.
But in what way, Gareth Martin, is it going to lead to more people suffering if there isn't a health minister over the next couple of weeks? I don't get it.
Well, we need decisions on things. For example, another, I think, area where there's a real significant problem here now is around nursing vacancies across the HSE and indeed the independent sector. We have seen increasing levels of nursing posts being vacant. That's something that is happening here and now. We need a strategic decision around how we're going to recruit and retain the nursing workforce, not just going into the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years, but here and now. And the lack every day does count. And I think, you know, the longer this goes on, the more unacceptable it is. That level of decision-making is required.
OK, Gareth and Ray, thank you very much indeed. 03030 80 55 55. Sammy in Belfast. Morning, Sammy.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I just would like to know about all this acphoniness amongst the unionist politicians about this man being killed in the market. Do they think that, like, amongst the unionist community, who they're supposed to represent, a care about this man being killed? What's all this phoniness about this? I mean, the IRA have killed...
What's phony about the reaction?
How many other people have they killed? I didn't hear about all this fuss when Robert McCartney was killed in the market, and then was that man actually the tricked about going over the border and beat him to death in some barn, whose mother was on, I think, last week on your show, and they've done other things. And then all of a sudden, when one IRA man goes out and kills another IRA man, Mike Nesbitt is beating his chest like Tarzan and all, being all concerned. Amongst the unionist community, I don't think there's any concern if an IRA man decides to shoot another IRA man. I mean, they respond.
You're talking about human lives here, by the way.
Oh, who?
You're talking about human beings here.
Oh,
you
yeah.
might describe them as IRA men, Sammy, but they've got wives, they've got children, they've got mums and dads and families, human beings losing their lives.
Yes, and how many human beings do they take? I mean, the IRA did not exist to help old women across the street. They were there to kill members of the security forces who had sons and daughters, wives, mothers and fathers.
So essentially what you're saying here, Sammy, is as long as they're killing each other, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean... if a terrorist or ex-terrorist, if they didn't kill anybody, I'm sure it wasn't for the want of trying. And if they decided to go out and kill each other, do you think the unionist community is concerned about that? So I would like to know all this acphoniness about these politicians making all this fuss. I mean,
The politicians clearly are concerned because the very existence of the IRA, according to the chief constable's assessment, has created this current crisis.
And the IRA have always existed. I mean, they've never gone away. I mean, their president stood up at the City Hall and told us that. So what's all this? Oh, surprise, surprise. We thought the IRA had gone away and they haven't.
Sammy, thank you. Ted and Larnix.
Everybody is stupid.
Morning, Ted.
Morning. Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to put the perspective from this part of the world. I'm an Englishman living in Northern Ireland, married into an Ulster Protestant family. I think the Ulster Protestants need to realise that none of the mainstream parties care about. They're not interested. I mean, we've heard, you know, at the top of the programme there, you were talking about attitudes of Labour politicians. I mean, it was a Conservative Party over many years that started to try and get us out of the UK and into an all-Ireland republic. It was the Tories that did away with the Ulster Special Constabulary. They did away with the Ulster Defence Regiment. They prorogued the old Stormont Parliament. They signed the Anglo-Irish Agreement, the Downing Street Declaration. They accepted in 1994 that the IRA had permanently renounced violence.
Ted, thank you. Mark and Antrim. Morning, Mark.
Stephen, if the Chief Constable and is to be believed, and Theresa Villiers believes him, surely then should they not be recommending that the IRA no longer be a non-prescribed organisation? Does he take them off the threat list? If they're such a bunch of good boys now, as he's saying, and they're out towing the line, no longer a threat to society, working for peace, all this garbage, surely they should no longer be a prescribed organisation. Will they take that step? Will Treaty of Villiers ask for that step to be taken by government?
That's a really interesting point. If the IRA are so benign, then why are they still a prescribed organisation?
Because to use Mr. Story's analogy about the butterfly, I would call him more like a slug. He started to slime away, but haven't gone quite quickly enough yet.
And Patrick in Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, do you see if these hokey-cokey ministers are not missed for a month? And here's a simple question. Why do we need them at all? I mean, what use are they? If they can disappear for the duration of these talks, of what importance are they?
What do you make of this tactic that Peter Robertson has hinted at? Now, he has not said that he will do it. He has suggested that his ministers could be consistently reappointed and then consistently resign. So in other words, it just keeps the stalemate of the position being ministerless longer and longer. It's a tactic from Robinson.
Yes, and it's a very crafty tactic, and it probably could work. But the bigger question is, what comes at the end of these tactics? Supposing we have direct rule here, what are we going to get? We're going to get more austerity. We're going to get abortion brought in. We could get £9,000 fees for children going to university. We're going to have gay marriage. We're going to have everything else. Everything else, all those things which DUP supporters are against.
Let's look at it from the DUP's perspective, from other people's perspective. This could be Peter Robinson using every bit of political acumen he has to try to keep the institutions alive, to try to buy time to keep them up there.
Yes, but eventually the English are going to lose patience with all this carry on. They're eventually going to be lost. And let's not forget, it's the English who are the main perpetrators of this with their austerity measures.
You know, here's the point I'd make. If we keep this on the country being without a health minister, can you imagine your local Tesco's not having a manager for a month? Wouldn't happen. Can you imagine your local grocery store not having someone in charge of the till for a month? Wouldn't happen. Our health service in Northern Ireland doesn't have the top manager, and Robinson is suggesting that he continues with that process. He might drag that process out.
Exactly, Stephen. But you're talking about the world of politicians here. And they seem to live on a different planet from all
so,
the rest of us.
So it comes back to your question, how busy is a health minister any day of the week if Mr. Robinson reckons we can do without him day after day after day for weeks?
You see, the thing is too, there's complete disdain for the voters of Northern Ireland, because for their political games, they're going to walk away and leave a health service without somebody at the helm, somebody to make decisions. I mean, that's pretty cynical on any man, any person's eyes.
Patrick, thank you. 030-30-80-55-55. Maybe you're sitting waiting for treatment right now. Maybe you're on a waiting list right now. How do you feel about the Department of Health being without a minister, and the First Minister, Peter Robinson, suggesting he might reappoint Mr. Hamilton, the Health Minister, next week, and then he'll resign again. Reappoint and resign again. Mr. Doherty. Hello, Mr. Doherty. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from County Derry.
Very good. What would you like to say?
All I want to ask is, could Peter Robinson and all his cronies come and tell me, see the likes of UVF, UDA, and all the loyalist paramilitaries, have they gone away with all the drug dealing and the racketeering that they do year in and year out?
Clearly not.
So why not bring the things down, the government down now? Because it just becomes the Republicans and nationalists and all the rest of it as they try and bring everything down. Why not bring it down before now?
Over loyalist paramilitaries?
Yeah.
Well, that's a question that others, of course, have asked. Some people would say because the political wing of those loyalist paramilitaries are not in government. That's the difference. Sinn Féin are.
Well, down the day, like, was it, did the IRA give commandments for them to go out and shoot that? You have a feud on, you would have a feud on every paramilitary group that you have. There's all going to be a feud on at some time. And if you listen to your man's story the other day in his news conference yesterday, the IRA has gone away. So they're just looking for any excuse to bring the government down Honestly, I hope it does go back to direct rule and see all the wages that they get, the 100 odd grand in all a year for doing nothing. They should put it on the health and on the schools and all the rest of it.
Yeah, let's remind ourselves it's more than the health minister that's missing. You've got missing. You've got Jonathan Bell from Derry. You've Danny Kennedy, DRD. What about our grass getting cut? What about our roads? How long can we go without ministers for? And that question that you're coming back to today. If they reckon that they can do without themselves for weeks, then what do they do every day? What do these ministers do when they're telling us that they're so busy? Really, really busy. And now they can all kind of leave their job at the side and nobody fills it for a few weeks. Really interesting.